Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Can Survivor's Eye of the Tiger survive the Songsmith treatment? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and in the next hour, we talk about how some DIY music-making software programs are changing the way we make and remake music. Also, Soundcheck's Picks of the Week, and singer-songwriter Erin McCarley performs live in our studio. To begin, though, irreverent music fans have been using a new software program from Microsoft called Songsmith to rework classic rock songs, like this lo-fi version of Eye of the Tiger that you're hearing. But these YouTube sensations were not what the folks in Redmond had originally intended. So what did they intend for Songsmith, and what does it say about the future of music consumption? In a moment, we'll be joined by a Songsmith fan, but first, Mike Keller, tech writer for PC World, joins us, and he is definitely not a fan of Songsmith. Mike, welcome to Soundcheck. What's wrong with it?
Well, let me begin by saying that Songsmith is intended to make music for people that don't know how to make music.
Okay.
Essentially, that was the original intention. This is sort of just a byproduct, what you heard, the Survivor song. But so how it works is it uses pitch detection, which has been technology that's been around for a long time. And so
this is the same stuff that pop singers use to auto-tune
their
vocals.
Right, right. It's a similar sort of thing. But instead of auto-tuning the vocals, it creates the music tracks behind the vocals. So you just sing into a microphone, and it creates the music behind it. Which, it sounds good in theory, but there's definitely a lot of limitations to the software that creates some pretty silly results.
All right. So people have been using it in ways that have been sort of unintended by the creators at Microsoft. Their intention was what? Was this a toy? Is it a game? Did they really think people were going to write songs with this thing?
Well, if you watch the commercial, I think we'll play a clip of it later, but They sort of have three different scenarios in the commercial. One, there's a kid using it, which I feel like is more of the that's going to be more of the practical use of it, I guess. And
right.
Then they also have this businessman that creates a commercial, which I just think is ridiculous. And then they also have a musician that uses it to write a song, which just completely offends me.
All right. Well, here is a clip from the infomercial, which, by the way, is unintentionally hilarious, from Microsoft. About this program called Songsmith, and so easy, even a kid can use it.
You sing into a microphone while the drummer plays along. And then when Songsmith makes the music, you're on your way to a song. You can choose the style, you can set the mood, and the chords will match what you sing. You can change the music as much as you like.
Now, there is absolutely no sense of irony in this infomercial. They are absolutely sincere about it. Mike Keller, in your article about this, about Songsmith, you do talk about, you know, what has happened since the program has been released with mm-hmm. people online. Somehow, you know, you get hold of just the voice track of a popular song, you feed that into this thing, and all hell, sonically speaking, breaks
right.
loose. You specifically wrote about the David Lee Roth run-in with the devil.
Yeah.
What is so wrong about this?
Well, actually, that one was unique because I think that David Lee Roth's lead vocal track somehow got leaked onto the internet a few months ago, and I saw that on YouTube, and it was hilarious because David Lee Roth is, as I said in my article, he is a ridiculous man. And so when you play...
And he hasn't come looking for you since then?
I don't know. Yeah, he might get me for libel or something.
As Mike Keller wrote, David Lee Roth plus Microsoft Songsmith equals pure horror.
Yes, I'm living at a base that kills. Ooh, yeah. Ah! Ah, ah, yeah.
found the simple life, ain't so simple. When I jumped out on that road, I got no love, no love you'd call real. Ain't got nobody waiting at home.
Yikes. All right, so the Microsoft Songsmith program providing its own music to what it thinks David Lee Roth had in mind for Runnin' with the Devil. That is just really, truly bizarre. We are talking about Microsoft Songsmith and this whole trend towards DIY music-making programs with Mike Keller, the tech writer of PC World. And in a moment, we'll be joined by someone with a kind of a different approach to this whole thing.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I've been enjoying all the Songsmith reviews in much the same way I enjoyed watching Plan 9 from Outer Space. When something is this bad, it's just so hard to look away.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, you can leave a comment. You can also see the full infomercial, if you insist, from Microsoft, which, sort of touts this Songsmith program. There are links to some of these reworked rock classics through the Songsmith program. And joining me in the studio now is Brian Raftery. He's a freelance writer and author of the book, Don't Stop Believin', How Karaoke Conquered the World and Changed My Life. And Brian, you actually like Songsmith.
I do. I mean,
why?
I can't say that I want to hear that Running with the Devil version ever again. But I like it for two reasons. One is that the software itself, speaking as someone who has no musical talent whatsoever and who knew that from a very early age, to give, you know, young people or old people who want to sing a chance to do so and kind of write their own song, I think is very liberating. I think, you know, a lot of us sort of write little songs in our head once in a while, and it'd be kind of fun to set them to music. So I don't have a problem with that, but I do think that that's going to be the secondary use. And I think what Mike was saying earlier, these feeding these raw lines of vocals into the machine is going to be its primary use. And I actually think it's great, because one thing I love about music is watching how a piece of music that's very familiar to me can be reshaped or recontextualized, whether it's by an ironic sort of cover version, whether it's a tribute band. And some of the songs that they've used for Songsmith are songs you know very well. You've heard 100 times. I mean, I've heard Sloop John B by the Beach Boys thousands of times probably at this point. But I've never heard it as kind of a weird Euro synth pop disco song. You know, I've never heard Shock the Monkey by Peter Gabriel as like a maudlin sort of piano ballad. And it makes you rethink what you thought you've known about this song for your whole life.
Let's actually hear that Peter Gabriel song. The original Peter Gabriel version of Shock the Monkey goes like this. That's the original Peter Gabriel version of Shock the Monkey. Now, extract Peter Gabriel's voice, run it through Microsoft Songsmith, and this is what you get.
Cover me, darling, please.
Wow. There's like a real kind of creative tension there. I mean, maybe it's just because I know the original, but, you know, the voice wants to go fast. The voice is moving along, and the piano is not.
But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, Shock the Monkey is lyrically a very dark song that's a dance song. And so when you're hearing it performed as a very sort of maudlin piano ballad, it's actually very true to the intention of the lyrics, at least. And I defy anyone to ever hear Shock the Monkey again and hear it in the same way after you've sort of heard it reconstructed and altered and recontextualized with Songsmith.
Mike, what do you think of all? I mean, is this just too goofy for you, or is there something?
Well, actually, in my original article, I did say that I quote silly and useless was the terms that I used for Songsmith. But in the next day, I actually did say after I sort of discovered all these crazy YouTube videos of all these songs that there is a use, and this is it right here. This is the unintended use.
Now, do you agree with Brian that whatever Microsoft's original intent was, that this will be the primary use for Songsmith in the future?
I think so, because otherwise its original intention just is not – it doesn't work, really, in my opinion.
All right. Brian here in the New York area writes, you missed the connection between Songsmith and the recent trend of recording artists hosting remix contests, making the individual parts of their hits available for download and remixing, in essence, music 2.0. Brian, is this karaoke in reverse, where you're given the vocals and you provide everything else?
In a way, I think, yeah, it's certainly a karaoke in reverse, but I think it sort of speaks to this larger trend now that's been happening, especially in the last year, with Guitar Hero and Rock Band and bands like Radiohead putting this raw material and allowing their users to alter the shape. I mean, music fans have come to expect that when they hear a piece of music, they want to participate. They want to have a small part to play in it. And that's partly generational. I think a lot of young people have grown up watching American Idol and thinking, well, I want to do that too. I want to be a part of that. But I certainly think we're now sort of fostering the idea that music no longer really truly belongs to the creator. And this freaks a lot of musicians out. And I understand why. I mean, it is very strange to think that you're going to put something out there and it'll be completely reshaped by someone you don't know with a computer in a college room, you know. But I think it's actually very cool to hear a song 10, 15, 100 different ways.
Well, and, you know, we were listening to Peter Gabriel a moment ago, and he, like 10, 15 years ago even, was making individual tracks of his various songs available to people who had computers so they could do their own mixes, their own remixes, essentially. I mean, not for money or anything. But so is Songsmith part of this kind of overall DIY fabric that has become so important on the music scene? I mean, is it on a par with Guitar Hero and Rock Band and games like that?
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, with Guitar Hero and Rock Band, you really don't have a lot of flexibility. I mean, you're playing the song, and you can sort of contribute to it in a way, but you can't really do anything artistic. I mean, if you screw up on Guitar Hero or Rock Band, it's going to sound bad. Whereas this has a very...
And you will get booed off the stage,
yeah, I mean,
as I have found many times.
Actually, I should add, though, that the newer version of Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero World Tour, actually does have a music studio kind of feature, which they've sort of played into this whole thing. I mean, their popularity is based on people that want to be a musician without actually having any musical talent. And so, or, I mean, also, I've played it, too, and I like it. You know, it's fun. It's a game. But I think the distinction with Songsmith, though, is that it's not a game. They're trying to play into just creating music as being entertainment.
And is there a danger, then, of kind of trivializing the act of making music?
Yeah, and not to be elitist or anything, but I just remember growing up, you know, I was 10 years old, and I would sit in my room with my, you know, guitar, my dad's guitar, actually, that was 10 sizes too big, and I sat there for 4 hours trying to learn, like, a single chord, and I just feel like that could be lost in future generations, you know?
But people probably said the same thing when recordings first came out, you know, that now people won't sit around the piano. And I'm sure that happened. There's probably a lot fewer people who get their music from learning to play the piano than just putting a record on.
Right. Why learn to play piano if you could just sing into a microphone and, you know, a computer will play for you?
Right. But as we've seen, there seem to be more musicians now than there ever have been before. So, you know, maybe there was a little bump when that technology, the recording technology, started, but it seems to have actually spawned a lot more interest. Couldn't this do the same thing?
Well, I mean, stuff like GarageBand, for example, is something that Apple is actually, they've made a really useful tool, because you can, without knowing how to be a recording engineer, you can just be a musician and do all this stuff in your bedroom. Whereas Songsmith, I think it takes a different approach. It's not really geared towards musicians. There's not, I'll talk about it more later, but there's not really a whole lot of customization you could do with the actual music.
Right. Dale in Brooklyn, talking about, you know, some of these reconstituted, Brian, some of the, you know, you were saying you like the Shock the Monkey version fed through Songsmith.
Yeah.
Dale writes, Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne to Polka is kind of interesting. Let's hear what that sounds like. I think Ozzy Osbourne just relinquished his Prince of Darkness crown to the people at Songsmith. Crazy Train from Ozzy Osbourne, just his vocal track fed through Microsoft's Songsmith program, and that is what comes out. And that is why Jenny from Jersey City has left this comment on the Soundcheck page. John, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to turn you off for a few minutes till you get through this segment. It is gruesome. Back in a few. Back in the mid-70s, Brian, nobody would have looked at turntables and thought that in a decade or so that there would be people genuinely making original and inventive and creative music with those devices. Is there a chance that Songsmith, at some point, 10 years, 15 years from now, that somebody could actually be doing something original and creative with this thing?
Well, I think if they don't use the software itself, it's going to sort of train them about music. I mean, if you're an 8-year-old kid and you get Songsmith and you start making up goofy songs and it feeds it back to you, you're going to learn in a way how to write songs. You might be making some ridiculous songs about your dog or whatever while you're hanging out at home, but you're eventually going to learn to appreciate melody. You're eventually going to learn about structure. You're eventually going to learn what lyrics work and what doesn't rhyme. And I think, you know, I don't think this will replace the hardcore songwriting process, but I think anything that gets young people to sort of start thinking about music in a very creative way. I don't think anyone's going to use Songsmith and make a Dark Side of the Moon sort of record, but I do think I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years, like 10, 15 years, if there are a couple of people who grew up on this software who are songwriters and have a very good knack for pairing a melody with lyrics in their head before they even start writing.
Now, the title of your book is Don't Stop Believin', How Karaoke Conquered the World and Changed My Life. If karaoke could change your life, and first of all, how did it change your life? Could this change some kid's life?
Absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier, I am a failed musician. I knew from a very early age that I could not sing, which was heartbreaking because I knew when I was very young that I wanted to sing. I wanted to be Prince or Paul McCartney or whoever. And I tried through high school, and I was not a good guitarist. I was not a good singer. And when I eventually found karaoke, which, you know, as many people know, does not exactly have very high standards for talent in certain ways, I found it very liberating that for years all these songs I'd had bouncing around in my head, I could finally get them out somehow. And to me, it's always seemed like a very high form of music appreciation. It also gave me a lot more confidence in every avenue of my life because I was like, well, I can actually perform and entertain people in a very bizarre sort of setting.
But has it improved your singing?
A little bit. Actually, my singing has actually gotten worse. When I was very young, I kind of had that like awkward Peter Brady voice, but now I have asthma, so it's kind of gone from like a honk to like a wheeze. So it's gotten worse. But, you know, I've learned a lot about songs at karaoke bars. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I have first of all, fact-checked a lot of lyrics, which I did not realize I was singing wrong. But you learn a lot about doing performance in a very small scale. You learn about how people are going to react to songs. You watch people take a song you've heard many times and sort of recast it in a way that you never would have thought of, which is similar to what Songsmith does.
Yeah. Mike, a final word. I mean, like karaoke, Songsmith, you know, gets people involved in the act of making music. However silly and useless, to quote your article, it is there a place for it?
Well, yeah. I mean, like Brian was saying, anytime you get people thinking about music in different ways, I think that's useful. Songsmith itself, as a program, I think is extremely limited, and it's going to reach its peak at some point soon.
It may have already peaked in a way that Microsoft could never have intended. You can go to our website and see lots of clips of songs you know in versions you may never, ever want to hear again, like Billy Idol's White Wedding. We've been speaking with Brian Raftery, author of Don't Stop Believin', How Karaoke Conquered the World and Changed My Life, and with Mike Keller, tech writer for PC World. Guys, it's been a lot of fun, sort of.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for being with us. It's a nice day to start again. In a really bizarre way, this country version of Billy Idol's White Wedding sort of works. Up next, three outstanding new releases come your way in our Picks of the Week. And coming up a little later, this song by Erin McCarley was the Song of the Week on iTunes not long ago, and it set a record with more than 600,000 downloads. Erin McCarley joins us to play songs from her debut album, live in our studio, later on Soundcheck.